This is a BloomerBoomer.com podcast with host Andy Asher.
Well, hi, everyone. You know, one of the things that I love so much about recording these podcasts is sometimes you just never know what you're going to learn. Now, our next guest is a flight attendant for a major international airline, and I figured, well, what better person to ask about travel tips for people over 50? You want to ask a flight attendant, right? Okay, so here's my surprise. Our guest is a flight attendant. Her name is Diane Deal, who not only breaks our stereotype of flight attendants, she's also living proof of someone who's living and breathing the second chapter of her life, her second act, if you will, something we talk a lot about here at Bloomer Boomer. Well, let's pick up the story from there.
And things that I see and recommendations like for through the eyes of a baby boomer, because I really didn't start flying until I was 50, and that was like 17 years ago, and I'm still flying as a flight attendant. So, you know, life does not end when we're 50 years old. It can just begin.
Well, you have quite a few stories. So, did I do my math right that you're 67?
Yes. I have to do the math. I mean, I know when I was born. I know what year it is, and then I have to actually do the subtraction to figure out: am I really this old? I mean. Yes, exactly, I am.
And then that's sort of what's all behind BloomerBoomer.com. It's all of the things that people over 50 are doing in their life.
Yeah, that was great, Andy. You know, and I went on to your site, too, because to see all what you're doing. I think, what a wonderful service. How awesome that's what you do. And it's from all, it's just like a whole rainbow of different perspectives. Too, from health to eating to this. I mean, I think it's just fabulous.
Well, thank you. That's really very nice of you.
I have to ask you a question, though. Are you a baby boomer?
Oh, yeah. I'm 66. I'll be 67.
Oh,
I'll be 67 in November.
Oh, God. I know. You probably yourself find that it's, you sometimes have to think, okay, I mean, am I really this? I mean, it's crazy, isn't it?
I think it's really hard to believe that the time has gone by so fast.
So much fun to talk to people that are like my contemporaries, particularly when we're way past the 50 mark, and it's like I'll have friends that, oh, what am I going to do? I'm going to retire when I'm 50, and I'm thinking, oh my word, you have no idea. The next adventure has just begun. In fact, in my mind, I'm trying to think, you know, I don't want to be doing this, a flight attendant. You know, I keep thinking, I've got to retire from this. And then I'm thinking, okay, I only have about another 20 years if I retire at 70. So what's my next adventure? So I'm always trying to think of what could I do next. So it's crazy. I think we must be a kindred spirit.
Well, Diane, I think you and I could commiserate here for a while, but let's take our audience into consideration here. And let me just ask you, take us back to how you got started in becoming a flight attendant at age 50.
Okay. Well, quick background, I'm a military brat, father, U.S. Air Force, career, born and raised, actually born at Walter Reed Hospital. My dad was stationed at the Pentagon. And fast forward to when I went to high school in Spain, we were stationed over in Spain, and I think that's what gave me the bug. I mean, as an Air Force brat, you know, I moved around about every 3 years, so I was used to doing that. But when we actually lived in Europe, and as a child, my mother taking me to Paris and, you know, going to London and all that was so intriguing to me. In fact, my granddaughter is about my age when I had lived in Madrid. And actually, this most recent summer took her to London, and it just opened up her eyes, too. So that kind of spurred my interest in travel, but even more than that, in understanding people from different cultures. So fast forward to, I'm a stay-at-home mom, take care of the children. When they flew away to college, believe it or not, airlines were hiring people that were 50 years old. I couldn't believe it because back when I was in college, I was going to go with Pan Am, but you couldn't be married. You couldn't, you know, have children. So I said, forget that. But anyway, so I actually started when I was 50 years old, and I'm 67 now, and I'm still a flight attendant for one of your major airlines. Absolutely love it. And so I'm so intrigued because it's a continual adventure because I love traveling and I travel only to Europe and the Middle East. And my thirst for knowledge of those cultures is never ending.
So tapping into your expertise, I guess right from the very beginning, what are some of the things that baby boomer travelers should be aware of and prepare for when they're getting ready to go and have a pleasure trip somewhere?
Yes, just some kind of pros and cons of things whenever you're going to be, you know, traveling internationally. The State Department, that particular site, always has a list of countries. If there's any kind of awareness, or of course right now we're right in the midst of this Ebola epidemic that's going on, particularly in West Africa. However, I think it's pretty well much under control. And obviously if you were going to be going to those countries, I would advise you perhaps not to, at least right at this time. But as far as Europe and the Middle East, even what's going on in some areas there, I would recommend that. And also, a lot of times airlines themselves, whatever airline that you'll be flying on, a lot of times they will post particular countries or things to be aware of, as well as the State Department has with your passports, have those things in order. And there's a lot of planning that you need to do in advance. But I think I have to say one thing, which is kind of my own little pet peeve. I think tour companies and those sorts of companies to, you know, go with, particularly if it's your very first time going to Europe or to any part of the world, those are really fine. But I really love the fact if you kind of catch it like an adventurer, where it's just you or just you and your wife, or even just you and your grandchildren. You want to go to London, just get on the plane, and I can tell you, a lot with my articles and with Boomer Travel Patrol, you will feel totally comfortable with landing right at Heathrow, taking the express downtown London, checking into your hotel, and if you're there just for 5 days, you will have a wonderful, wonderful time. You do not need to have someone pre-plan things for you. It's sometimes, to me, so much more in-depth, and you can do exactly what you want to do and places you want to see. I just think that really, at least for me, makes my trips internationally so much more rewarding than if I was, you know, with the tour group. However, again, there's a definite place for those if you aren't quite as much of an adventurous as I am and you really prefer a pre-planned thing, but you really won't get entrenched in understanding that culture. And, of course, that's my perspective. I'm coming from really wanting to go away from a country, understanding what they are truly all about. And that's all my writings kind of reflect that on that Boomer Travel Patrol.
And you're so inspiring, Diane, because you're living proof that you can be adventurous when you travel and take a risk or two in spite of our age.
Absolutely. And one thing, as a flight attendant and even as a traveler, you really only need one little roller bag suitcase. You never want to bring anything that you need to check. And comfortable shoes and washable, like you wash them in the sink, your clothing, and that's really, really all that you really need. You don't really be needing all the shoes and all those sorts of things. Particularly, I advise this for first-time baby boomers that may be going overseas. A lot of times, we as women, we think of our outfits and our shoes and our purse, everything has to match. Nope, that doesn't happen. Everything, whatever fits in that suitcase, and there's a little small roller board, the international size, not the bigger size, the international size, that way you don't have to worry about checking it. You just bring it on board. It's somewhat lightweight. Just that and your purse is really all that you need.
So I'll admit right here, Diane, I am not the most efficient suitcase packer in the world. So it sounds like I'll need to be a lot more disciplined than what I am right now.
Yes. It really, when you think about it, you don't really need a lot. In fact, kind of a little technique I kind of learned from my husband, like the military, the way that they pack is that they take their clothing and they roll it. So you have they roll it up. You can kind of put a lot more in your suitcase, by doing it that way. And of course, depending upon the time of year, obviously, if it's going to be in the wintertime, particularly like Europe, particularly Paris, believe it or not, it gets so cold there. In the wintertime, like December, January, that you really need to be wearing to be really, really warm, obviously that you're going to be wearing that on the plane. So you'll have your heavy coat or whatever, your jacket. And think of layer, just like you do when you go snow skiing. Think of layering. that is also really, really key. And even thermal underwear. This is, again, wintertime. Believe, you know, in the hotels, because sometimes the hotels, what they say is warm is not what we could say is warm, or what they say in the summers, what they, if they call air conditioning, we wonder, where is the cool air? So you kind of have to understand that different parts of the world kind of view things differently. So less is really more as far as your packing. And, of course, with your meds, you never, ever would want to check any kind of bag if you have any kind of medication. That should always be, you know, with you in your purse or in your suitcase, but on board with you at all times.
Yeah, and I want to touch upon the meds part in a minute. The thing I think many travelers, or at least speaking for myself, I'm not so concerned with being fashionable, but being comfortable. But it sounds like you're saying that you can have your comfort too, in pack efficiently.
Yes, and for us women, and you could be fashionable too, believe it or not, with the colors, and there's so many. You just Google travel wear. There's just so many companies that have really great oranges and fuchsias and tops and very easable, expandable waist clothing, and that are very, very comfortable to wear, and shoes and things to wear, too, that are great. I mean, we've really come a long way, and I think because so much of the target market for international is us, the baby boomers, and, you know, we do want to look nice, but we really want very comfortable, washable, self-washable clothing. One thing that I tend to always have, no matter what, is always a shawl, some kind of a shawl that either if I'm going into a church where I have to cover my head, or if I'm outside in the evening, it gets a little cold, like especially in London sometimes, it could be very deceiving where during the day the sun's shining, that night could be crisp and cool. I have my shawl, I put that around my shoulders, and that's really all I need. And also And I have the color of the rainbow, all kinds of colors, and they're very, very lightweight, and they give you a lot of protection. Even in the Middle East, sometimes you get caught in a sandstorm or whatever. I have my shawl, and I wrap that around my nose area. It gives me a little bit of protection in breathing, particularly if you're, like, in a Dead Sea area. A lot of times with the winds and things, you will blow up a little bit of sand. Also, believe it or not, we, like with my husband's work, we actually had lived in Jerusalem. And a lot of times I'd catch the bus, and sometimes I'd get on the bus, and most of the women would have their head covered. Out of respect for them, here's my shawl, goes back up on my head, and I kind of fit right in with the culture. And that's kind of what I like to do with this informal dressing. You kind of do want to fit in with the culture. You don't want to be somewhat set apart. That way, when you go into the little restaurants or the little bars or the little cappuccino places, people will come up to you, and those that speak English, surprisingly, a lot of people throughout the rest of the world do speak English. You can develop somewhat of a relationship, too, in talking with them and interchanging with them and understanding about their culture. So it's just so that less is more again, and you don't need a lot of stuff other than I did mention how important it is to have your meds. And also, I might want to add a little bit of prepping yourself dietary-wise before you actually board an airplane, you know, drinking lots of water and eating really lightweight, you know, not really heavy, not a lot of heavy carbs as far as food prior to, because when you're flying, basically you're going to be wanting to drink an awful lot of water. I would say no to all the liquor that's on board that you can buy, because remember that dries you up more internally. And that just caused for all kinds of havoc with our systems and regularities and everything. And with this water issue, too, remember, you'd be going through all kinds of security. So always when you get to the other side, because of the liquid limitations, you can always pick up that big water bottle and have a flight attendant fill it up for you. But water is the key. It keeps you perky, keeps you, you know, very, very healthy. And eating very, very little and have a little light snacks is much better than those heavy, heavy meals.
So somebody who might be on the fence about taking an excursion, maybe they haven't traveled for a while, you are seeing a lot of people who are baby boomer age traveling, is that right?
Yes, absolutely. Lots and lots of people. A lot of people, too, are flying from the U.S. to pick up cruise tours. like probably going up to the Middle East and places like that. Particularly, I go to Norway a lot, so we get a lot of people that are doing those connections, picking up the various cruise lines out of Norway, which is spectacular, by the way, when you're actually doing the Scandinavian countries because of the fjords and the magnificent landscape. I mean, it's just breathtaking. I can understand doing maybe a cruise for that, but I also would want to throw in, and don't really want to digress too much, but however, if I was really going to do a cruise up there in the Norwegian area, I would actually do the ones that are really smaller and private, sponsored, of which you actually go out to see the Northern Lights, because I see the Northern Lights all the time, you know, up in the cockpit when I go up there. But when you see them actually on the ground, the Northern Lights are just, you feel like it's Star Trek, and you're going to be beamed up. You see these green, make beautiful rays of lights, too, which up there in the Norway, Finland, Sweden, and those countries in the fall, that's when I would, book those types of trips, too. But again, what I'm kind of saying, bottom line, is you don't have to be hooked up with bigness, big tour groups, big cruise lines, unless you choose that. I mean, there's elegance of the cruise line where you bring all your beautiful apparel and your shoes and all that. But if you want to actually be almost like a backpacker, I guess because of my age, I guess I'm still kind of, I was never a hippie. But I really love the back to nature, the individual backpacker, actually backpacking across the country. I remember in college, when we were in college, was always you have to go during your junior year and you have to backpack across Europe. Of course, you wouldn't do that now for safety issues, but I guess that's sort of the way I like to travel, on my own, creating my own itinerary, my own adventure, and just kind of letting it flow and see what comes in your path. And that really causes, I find, when I speak to other baby boomers, because I do talk to a lot of them when they're on my flight, they really, with their all that same adventurous spirit as mine, when they return, they have, and they write journals, and they write about their people they met, places they saw. That's what is wonderful memories for them when they really get into their 90s or whatever, when reflecting and looking back on all what they did, versus just, you know, being on a tour bus and seeing this, and not having any true in-depth soul-searching experience with it. So that's what I try to connote in a lot with my writings there with Baby Travel Patrol.
Well, it's so encouraging to hear you say that because, as we get older, I think many of us start losing our sense of adventure, and you aren't discouraging that at all.
No. In fact, life should be an adventure. And it's, I know we kind of go through the various stages, be with my children, then when they flew away to college, and I flew away to this. And like I'm thinking, okay, what's my next adventure beyond this? You know, it's just, I'm always thinking of what's next to do. And this is, with baby boomers, I sometimes think maybe it's just a society, like it's when you reach that 50 or 55 or when you're even 62, somehow you're not supposed to do anything. You're supposed to, okay, now you're supposed to go, you have your house paid off, stay in your little house, grandkids will visit, you just kind of stay there. I think just the opposite. And I really have found in my discussions, not my own personal life experience, but talking to a lot of baby boomers on the airplane, so many of them have come through a health crisis, and it's like something turned them on, and that they came through such a really being thinking they're not going to survive, to the fact that they survived, and it's kind of like, wow, there's a big world out there I have yet to explore, I have yet to discover. And so I don't care what, I am going. A lot of these people, they don't even have a hotel pre-booked, like going into Paris. They're just going to show up at the airport, which, by the way, is very easy to do. You could just show up at the airport, believe it or not, and you, right then and there, you can figure it out of where you would want to stay. Most of us, of course, pre-plan just a bit on that. But I'm telling you, you can still do it, just like you did when you were a backpacker kid back in the 1960s. You can, even at your age 60 or 70, you can just show up in that city because the airports right now, they just are full of hotels and phones and direct contact and buses and knowing how to get into Paris or take the train or to stay, and even if it's for one night. give yourself to learn the lay of the land and then figure out, okay, well, I'm going to go over to that little bed and breakfast place. I prefer to stay there. So it's just, that's what I have found what's going on with baby boomers that do travel, at least that I have seen on my flight, that life should just begin at any age. Even if you still are working part-time or not working at all, you really should do that other than just kind of sit back and kind of hibernate, because then bad health will set in. But if you can rekindle that adventure spirit that you had when you were young, because when you're sick, sometimes that's what pops out. Your little soul within you says, no, I there's so much more I want to see and do in life. And when you grab that, all of a sudden, you'd be amazed at what these stories that I get from these people of how one thing led to the other. And here they were in my plane, and on the way to Paris or London or Tel Aviv, they had never been there before, and by gun, they were going to do it because they just realized, I'm going to see this place. It's the last thing I do. So I see a lot of that.
Well, we could go on and on, and maybe we can plan to have a second or third podcast on travel later. But let me ask you as we wind down on today, Diana, a few tips that you can just leave us with for those of us who might be planning a trip here down the road.
Yes, well, you can approach it two ways. I would approach and recommend to baby boomers that if this is like your first trip, or you really have to think, okay, where is it that I've always wanted to go? If you can kind of identify a particular city or cities that you maybe have things to do before, those thousand places to visit before I die or whatever, in your own mind. And then once you identify that, then you backtrack, and then you can start planning. What I have recently have been doing and have found to be so great for me personally is that when I choose a particular city, I do a little bit of research. Of maybe there's been some kind of a book that's been written the last few years, a true story of someone that was from there. And I try to get that book, read about it, and then maybe that might open my eyes to kind of see it through a whole different angle. Case in point, I go to Limerick, Ireland all the time. And some years ago, there was a book called Angela's Ashes that was written by a fellow McCourt that had lived there as a little boy, born and raised there, and how harsh and horrible the poverty and the situation was there in Ireland so many years ago. And so it was a flashback. So when I read his book, when I was there, I tried to go to different places that he was. Obviously, there's a museum there that has a lot of his things. But I actually went there and touched some of the things that he as a little boy had, and actually was able to experience that particular city through the eyes of someone that had lived there back in really, really harsh times. And it gave me such an appreciation for the Irish, particularly there in that part of Ireland, of the harsh conditions that so many of them had to go through. That's just a perfect example. You might be someone that absolutely loves Egyptian art, and you'll be going to be, you know, maybe your thoughts are to be trying to go to Egypt, or to be going to, or even Jerusalem, or you're coming from a Christian background, you want to go and see the old sites. If you can do it from what's in your heart of the city that you want to see, not just the do's and don'ts at the top, like you go to London, you see the eye and the tower and, you know, all that sort of thing, but from what intuitively you really are reaching for and will get such peace from seeing and being physically there, that's how I would approach it, for you to come up with that choice. Then you backtrack and doing your the time frame, checking the weather to be sure is that the really best time of year to go based upon what you want to see and do, coming up with some of the top sites, but also come up with the things that are not so obvious that you would like to try to accomplish with your particular visit there. You may not know the answer to those things until you get to the hotel and talk to the concierge, but you'll have a wealth of information about what's going on that might meet that particular unique need that you have and for your particular adventure. And then once you do that, as I told you with this packing thing, keeping it really simple based upon the climate and time of year as you're going, pack accordingly, no check bags, passport in order, meds with you, always on board and easily accessible, by the way. So in case you have to pull something really quick, you don't have to take everything out. Because believe me or not, on those airplanes, as you know, particularly international, those overhead bins are packed full of stuff. So make sure you have that little pouch that has your meds if you need them, your little snacks, your eyeglasses, your computer, or whatever your book or whatever you have, easily accessible in one little cute little pouch you can pull out very quickly. But I just feel that, and watching your diet, of course, with the water, no alcohol, and focusing on proper eating, I think you'll have a wonderful adventure. A great trip, and something that you will come back and have what you would have created wonderful memories to be looking back on once you get into your 90s, hopefully, and late 90s and early 100s.
Well, your enthusiasm is infectious, but even more so, you've seen it as part of what you do, that you can be any age and have fun and travel. Anyway, Diane, thanks so much. That was just really, really fascinating. And again, thanks for your time.
Yes, thank you so much, and happy travels.
Thanks for listening to our BloomerBoomer.com podcast. We provide transcripts for most of our podcasts, and you can also access all of our podcasts on iTunes. Oh, and we encourage you to leave a comment in the podcast reply section.